I'm pleased to be joined with a few members of our swimming and diving programs here at Youngstown State. First, here with assistant swimming coach Noah Frederick. Noah, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
And also, I want to say thank you. So head coach Brad Smith had some other things he had to take care of during this time, so Noah stepped up to the plate, and he's joining us here today. And Noah's been with the program. This is now his second year as an assistant here at Youngstown State. Noah, if we go back to your first school year here at YSU, the 24-25 year, what were some of the biggest growing points for you as a coach assisting the staff during your first year here in Youngstown?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first year here was a great year, but there was definitely a lot of growth to, you know, that I had. You know, the first really semester was a big growing semester. You know, we going into the year thought we'd have two assistants, and right before the school year started, one left. So not only was I starting to learn everything, learn the ins and outs of the team, the program, everything revolving around athletics, but also kind of taking over another role for the other assistant. So I was kind of doing two people's job at once. And so it was a lot, but I think I learned a lot from it. So I was pretty happy I had that experience, even though at the time it was a lot.
Yeah, and I know obviously we're excited to speak with all the programs here at Youngstown State during this first hour, but this one I was looking forward to because the Youngstown State men's and women's swimming and diving programs is one of the programs that I control from a sports information standpoint, doing social media, doing stuff with the team behind the scenes. So I was excited for this one. I felt the same pains that you did last year. I wasn't too familiar with swimming and diving, and I was kind of moving into a role controlling social media, kind of being that liaison at the home meets without knowing what was going on, really. But something that I noticed is, like you said, there's kind of a shuffling with the staff and the team. It seems like it's an all-hands-on type of thing with the swimming and diving programs, especially at our home meets. It seems like the student-athletes that aren't performing are always either A, cheering the team on, or B, doing something at the table where there's so many people and you're doing so many different things. Mm-hmm. From your standpoint as an assistant on the coaching staff here at Youngstown State, what are some of the specific duties that Coach Smith has you control kind of from behind the scenes and both during meets as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, everybody does a little bit of everything here from a coaching staff standpoint, but then also, like I said, the student-athletes. I think that's like part of like what makes our team like really close is because everybody has a hand in everything. You know, from my end, like I know I do a lot of the recruiting side of things, whether that's just calls, but then also setting up visits and all that kind of everything that goes into recruiting. But then also the business side of things as well. So making sure, you know, we got buses, we got hotels, we got food, everything from a travel side of things, which is like one of those things that, like I mentioned before, was something that I had to adjust to a little bit getting here. You know, before my previous job, there was somebody else that handled that. And so having to jump in and take over that was a big adjustment. But like I said, learned it pretty quickly and got pretty good at it. At least I hope so. But yeah, that's, I'd say the biggest things that at least I, you know, kind of take over is more the recruiting side of things and then more like the business side as well.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing a great job so far through 1 year down here at Youngstown State. And before I want to move on to this year's team and what's to expect this year, I want to talk about the background of Noah Frederick a little bit. You were a collegiate swimmer yourself at one time, and then it seems like you've bounced around already a few different spots. You've experienced a lot of different places early on in your coaching career. But going back to your swimming career, you're from Plum, Pennsylvania, so not too far from Youngstown compared to some of the student athletes and some of the other coaches that we bring in here to Youngstown State. You began your swimming career collegiately at Pitt Bradford and then transferred over to Edinburgh, where you were an all-conference honoree for the Fighting Scots. The swimmer Noah Frederick, what were some of the events that you specialized in during your career?
Mm-hmm. I was more of a breaststroker, mostly 100 tuna breaststroke primarily, and then kind of was the go-to guy in whatever else they needed me to do. You know, if that was distance, if that was sprint, if that was low but IM, kind of had a little bit of versatility, but mostly specialized and trained in breaststroke, but wherever there was gaps in the team, I was always happy to fill in.
So you were kind of, you were like a utility guy for the
team.
More
or less, yeah.
You could be plugged in anywhere. You talk about kind of specializing in breaststroke, the 100, the 200. Did one stick out to you as a favorite compared to the other, or did you kind of just go into it with the same liking?
I'd say more of the tuna breaststroke. That might just be because that was something I was a little bit better at. I really enjoyed all of it, but I'd say that I probably leaned a little bit more toward the tuna breaststroke. Just growing up, I swam a little bit more distance freestyle, so I think I'd like that little bit of a longer race there.
And then one of my favorite parts when we talk with the student athletes is you hear kind of the backgrounds and the team bonding and the things that they do outside of the pool to build a camaraderie. And those are really the memories that you have that stick with you a lot longer in your lifetime than necessarily some of the swimming accomplishments. During your swimming career at Edinburgh, are there any memories that you made with your teammates, whether it was in the pool or outside, that still stick with you and you still think about to this day?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of things. Some of the things that I remember the most are, you know, we would, I know other teams I'd been on, and then even here, like we'd go on a training trip every other year. We didn't do that at Edinburgh. So we would, we'd leave school like sometime around like mid-December. We'd come back a little bit before the new year. And so those days where it was probably about a week and a half where it was just us on campus, I think just us in basketball really, where you'd go, you'd train in the morning, you'd come back, you didn't have any class, and you just kind of like hang out with each other in your apartments and just wait to the next grueling practice in the afternoon. Like there, you didn't have class or anything else to kind of distract you a little bit. It was just train, watch all the snowfall in Erie, Pennsylvania for
some rough
months,
winters there,
months
I bet.
Straight. I always like to say, you know, where I went to school, we measured snow in feet, not inches.
That's fair.
And so
I believe
you know, spending time with like a teammates, some of my best friends, like in that time period, that like late December, early January, where we were snowed in more or less, didn't have any class or anything, and just kind of just got to focus on training.
So something that really interested me kind of learning about Noah Frederick and seeing your background is that your coaching started before your post-swimming career. Mm-hmm. I saw you helped out at some local YMCAs. You also helped out at General McLean High School, which I believe was while you were swimming at Edinburgh, correct?
It was right after I finished. So,
okay.
So I graduated from Edinburgh in 21, but I was there for I was Pitt Bradford for 3 years, and then I was at Edinburgh for two, and so I swam at Bradford for three, Edinburgh at one, and then I still had another year after my eligibility was up. And so during that year that I was still at Edinburgh, I couldn't get away from the pool. I wanted to help coach the college team, but that was the COVID year. That was 2020, 2021.
Gotcha.
And so there was just a lot of restrictions on who and who couldn't be on the pool deck and all this kind of other stuff. And so I knew that I wanted to stay around coaching. And so, you know, the opportunity that I found was to help out with the high school team there, which that in itself was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Just because we, you know, be that high school team there, we trained at the college, and so again with COVID there was a ton of other restrictions what we could and couldn't do. For the majority of the season we were practicing in the pool for about 45 to 50 minutes a day, which is not enough to get substantially better, so we were trying to make the most with what we had. But it was definitely a big learning year, but a year that, you know, again I'm very thankful for.
And so coaching has been a part of your life really from a very early stage. Like you said, right after you were done swimming yourself, working with kids, especially high school kids and younger early on in your life, what were some of those first coaching qualities that you learned that not only makes a good coach, but one that is impactful as well, because kids have studies going on, they have their social lives, and they kind of go to their sport as a getaway from that. What were some of those first real good qualities that you learned as a coach?
I think the biggest one is patience. You know, being at like the high school level and then even like the club level, like, you know, at the club level, I was coaching kids that would go on to be YMCA national champions and, you know, at Division I programs, like Power 4 programs. But then you're also working with 6 and unders and learning to like balance between those two and be able to find the little things with the 6-year-olds and the little things with the 17-year-olds that are going to Olympic trials. And so I think just being patient with everybody across the board and, you know, looking for little things across the board, no matter what, whether, like I said, you're 6 and need a lot of adjustments, or whether you're older, more refined, and are looking for those hundredths or tenths of a second.
Yeah, definitely. So we talk about these early coaching stages. Well, after you got your bachelor's degree, you move on to grad school. You go to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, better known as IUP, around here, where you assisted the Crimson Hawks swimming and diving staffs. What was that like for you? And you also helped out in aquatic operations, correct, at IUP?
Yeah, so interesting story kind of how I got there. You know, I was looking for a graduate assistantship. I saw that they were offering one purely on the aquatic side. Like they had a GA that was going to just work in terms of running the pools, running the lifeguards, taking care of everything aquatics So that way the coaches that were running the pools didn't have to deal with any of that. They could just focus on swimming.
Yeah.
And so I interviewed for it. I got it. Oh, that was great. And then my first day, I told them, I was like, actually, can I help coaching? They're like, yeah, sure. And then like I just kept showing up day after day after day, being like, can I do a little more? Can I do a little more? And then after my first year, I talked with our assistant. And he's like, so what did you want to do? Do you want to do aquatics or do you want to do coaching? I was like, honestly, the aquatics position was pretty much just my in. Like, I kind of conned you guys a little bit by, like,
saying, sometimes you got to do that.
I was like, I just, that was my foot in the door, was getting that GA position, running the pools, and then I just, you know, bothered them every day to do more coaching-wise. And so that was kind of how I got in there. And then by my second year, it was running practices and writing practices, and I had my own little group as well.
Awesome. So you got the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And the Crimson Hawks program, very successful at the Division II level. During your 2 years there, you helped guide 22 Division II All-Americans. What was that experience like for you to be around such a successful program and see day in, day out what it takes to see the success progress from day to day?
Yeah, that was it was a great, great experience for me. You know, like you said, like we had, I think my first year coming in was we were coming off of a year where we had a girl win the national championship in the tuner freestyle. And so like we had athletes that were competing for national championships. But then we also had athletes that were, you know, Division II swimmers who were there because they liked it and they had an opportunity and, you know, it was something that they enjoyed doing, but they didn't have, you know, crazy big national championship aspirations. And so similar to like what I said with the club coaching with, you know, the little kids and the older kids, like, dealt with that not on as drastic of a level between, you know, little and old, but still kind of having to cater to everybody. You know, the people that are showing up every day with the goal of breaking records, you know, whether that be school records or national records and competing for podium at NCAAs, but then also being able to cater to the people that are, like I said, there
because
they enjoyed it. They've done it their whole life and they want to try to do it a little bit longer in college. So, you know, working with all those different types of athletes, again, I think just helped make me a more well-rounded coach and understand kind of different people's needs and how to cater to them.
So you have to balance all these things as a coach with these student athletes. And we talked about the aquatic side of things that you handle and the coaching. All in the meantime, you're trying to get a master's degree as a graduate assistant, which I am right now here at Youngstown State. That's part of the reason why I get to host this show. What were some of the struggles that you went through having to stay on top of both coaching and schooling at the same time?
Well, honestly, it was the time management. You know, going into that, I wasn't great at time management, and I learned very quickly that I had to be or it wasn't going to work. You know, especially in the December, January, February months, you know, I'd be up at 5 a.m. to get to morning practice and run morning practice, and then afterwards I'd go to the pool and I'd run, or like our separate pool, and run the pool. I'd fill in for lifeguards. I would essentially be the manager of the pool, you know, get some work done while I was there, help some of the back end stuff, like some of like the travel and business stuff as well with the team. And then afternoon practice in the afternoon, usually evening class. And then if I didn't have class, I would also help out with the running the meets for the high school. So like kind of like what you helped us with last year, and like what RGA Brooke Schutte helped out with last year. And I would do that for the local, like, Indiana Y High School. And so probably 2 to 3 days a week, I'd be up at 5 a.m., and I wouldn't get back into my apartment and be, like, done with my day, back in my car until, like, 9:30, 9:45 at night. And so, like, those days, and again, it's December, January, I'm not seeing the sun, like, at all.
Can be tough.
It's going down at 4:30, and I'm not even getting in my car to go home at night until, 9:30, something like that.
It's freezing cold.
It's cold. Yeah, the weather is no different than it is here. And so you just kind of, you learn a lot about yourself and, you know, figure out internally why you're doing what you're doing. You know, if I didn't want to be in this position, if I didn't want to go on into coaching, then I probably very easily would have taken a different route and not gone through that grind.
But,
you know, after a lot of like looking inward, realizing that this is truly what I want to do, this is what I want to, you know, put my best foot forward to being the best that I can be in it. It made it easier.
Awesome. Well, no, we're off to a real good start here in our talk. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Noah had one more stop in the state of Ohio before he joined Youngstown State. We'll talk about that and then preview the upcoming season when we return here on the Penguin Playbook radio show. Welcome back inside the Boardman Quaker Steak and Lube here on the first hour of week three of the Penguin Playbook Radio Show. I'm Anthony Romo, pleased to be rejoined with Noah Frederick, an assistant swimming coach on the Youngstown State swimming and diving staff. Before we get back into our talk with Noah, I want to send along a quick message about the Youngstown State football team. The next YSU football home game is Saturday, October 4th, when they host South Dakota State in the conference opener at 6 p.m. It will be the YSU Family Day with all fans receiving a Penguin Stadium flag, courtesy of Panera, Medical Mutual, Pepsi, Varsity Club Youngstown, and 21 WFMJ. For tickets, call 330-941-1978 or go to YSUSports.com. South Dakota State, top two team in the country after defeating Montana State in the top three battle last week. We're pleased to be rejoined here with Noah Frederick of the Youngstown State Swimming and Diving staff. Noah, I hinted a little bit before we went to break. This isn't your first coaching stop in Ohio. You started out as an assistant at the University of Toledo before making your way over to Youngstown. You were an assistant on the women's swimming and diving staff at Toledo. I got to ask you, your first two coaching stops still in the state of Pennsylvania, Well, I guess as a GA and then as a swimmer, and then now going over to Toledo. Was that your first time really far away from home, and how did that little bit of distance kind of affect you early on during your tenure there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was the furthest I'd ever been from home. Not still terribly far, 3.5 hours, something like that. It wasn't terrible, but first time being living out of the state, and I really, really enjoyed my time there, and there was a bit of an adjustment, though, just being further from home. Being in Edinburgh, I knew a lot of people there. My older brother had went there. My younger brother eventually followed me there as well. And so I knew the coaching staff very well when I committed and swam there. And then being at IUP, both my parents actually went to IUP as well. And so I knew the area very well, and my grandparents lived in the area. So everywhere I'd gone, I'd been familiar with the area, or at least the people there, somewhat. And so Toledo was the first time kind of stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit, and I think a really, really great opportunity for me to do so as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so as an assistant for the women's swimming and diving staff at Toledo, what were some of the duties that you had to oversee for the Rockets during a pretty short stint there? You were only there one season, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so my biggest thing coming in was being the head recruiter. That was something that I did a lot there. Kind of the first day on the job was that's kind of like what I took over. And then from a coaching standpoint, I bounced around groups a lot. I was working a little bit with distance, working a little bit with sprint, kind of found a home more so on the distance side of things. We had a couple of talented ladies there, and I don't know how or why, but I kind of just found my way working with them a little bit more, and that ended up kind of being my home more so like the second half of the season. But in terms of big responsibilities, it'd be, again, every day kind of coaching duties, but then more so kind of taken fully over on the recruiting side of things.
So finally, last season, you made your way here to Youngstown. What's some recruiting experience? You said you control a lot of the recruiting here. You controlled it at Toledo. What was the process like for you to connect with Youngstown State, and what was it about this program that made you want to take a chance and possibly apply for the job here?
Mm-hmm. So the prior assistant here, Kelsey Reagan, she was here, I believe, 3 years. She was actually my graduate assistant when I swam at Edinburgh. Her dad was also one of my professors there, too. So I knew them very well.
Nice connection.
And then right when the assistant coaching job opened up here, I saw her probably about a week or two later at a meet down in Florida, and she kind of nudged me. I was like, so, you want to come join me? Before I was your coach, now we can kind of be colleagues. And so I was like, oh, well, it'd be a great opportunity. Definitely a program on the rise, a little bit closer to home. It's a combined program, great facilities, great area. I was like, I don't know if I want to leave yet. I've only been at Toledo a year, but it can't hurt to check it out. I know that this could be a really good opportunity for me. So I might as well do it.
Yeah.
So I applied, had a couple conversations with Coach Brad at that same meet as well before I even really applied, just kind of getting to know him. It seemed like he had a great coaching philosophy, but then also it seems like a really, really great guy that would be someone that I would want to work with.
Yeah.
Just watching the way that he kind of worked with the swimmers and how they interacted with him. You can kind of tell a lot about the culture of a program just kind of sitting back and watching how the swimmers and or the athletes and the coaches interact. And so just kind of throughout that meet, every night I'd go back like, oh, maybe I'll apply. I probably should. And then by the end, it's like, I definitely will.
Yeah.
I have to at least give it a shot. So, eventually it ended up working out, and I was very, very happy that it did, and I'm super happy to get here.
So as we quickly recap last season, your first with Youngstown State, it was a memorable Horizon League Championships meet. Our women's 800 freestyle relay team won the first conference relay title in program history, both for the men or the women, with a school record combined time of 7 minutes 20 seconds, which snapped a 10-year title run for Oakland in that event at the conference championships. And also Miriam Frost, who will go down as one of the greatest athletes, regardless of sport, here in the history of Youngstown State Athletics, won 2 individual conference titles and was also named the Women's Swimmer of the Meet, the first woman in Youngstown State's program to win that honor at the Horizon League Championships. 1 year down for you at Youngstown State, looking back at last season, what were some of your greatest bright spots that you saw within the team from a coaching perspective that you think will leak over into this season?
Yeah, there were a ton of bright spots. Like you mentioned, like just a couple of them at the conference championship meet. But even throughout the year, I think the first one, our very first meet against St. Bonaventure, which is a team I don't think we had beaten over the last several years. On the men's side, at coming down to the final relay, we have to win that relay to win the meet. And not only do we win it, but we break the school record, or not the school record, we break the pool record in doing so. And so that was super fun. And then the women, the same thing. I think we had to, we didn't even have to win the relay. I think we just had to get second, and we won it anyway. And so just from the very first meet to starting off hot was awesome. And, you know, as you go throughout a season, you know, there are ups and downs. There are great swims. There are not as great swims. But I think we learned a lot from the great swims and the not-so-great swims and culminating at a really, really great conference championship meet. You know, some of the swims that kind of stand out to me from that meet especially, number one, kind of the one that you mentioned was that opening relay, that first night, the 800 free relay. We knew going into that that people knew that we were coming. The prior year, we had gotten third, which I believe was the highest we'd ever finished. I think it was the first time we'd ever podiumed, been top three, or at least it had been the first time we were top three in a long, long time. And so I knew that that year we had kind of come in as a shock, and people didn't expect us to get third. And so we knew that going into this past year that other teams knew that we were here to play. And so we knew maybe we didn't have a target on our back, but we knew that there was, you know, some pressure to repeat, if not do better. And we kind of blew it out of the water. It was every swimmer had, you know, the best swim that they had had. Everybody did their part and then some, and being able to come away with, you know, not just backing up that third place best finish from the year before, but winning it, going 6 seconds faster than we had the year before, which is shattering our school record, and then taking down Oakland, who has, you know, been the top dog in the conference for the last 14 years. It was really, really special. And then the last one I can think of was, and that was the, you know, first event was our last one in the women's tuna breaststroke is the one that stands out to me. We had a girl, Olivia Koniak, who was going into her senior year, or was a senior last year.
Her final conference championships.
Final conference championships, had had some ups and downs throughout her prior 3 years, had always done well during the regular season, but then never really always put it together at the end of the year. And at that point of the meet, she had been doing phenomenal and finally putting it together. I remember after her morning swim, she had a decent time, but her like looking at me and saying, "Coach, like I don't have anything left. Like that was the best that I got. I don't know if I can do any better." And I think she qualified second. It's like, all right, well, we got one more swim. That's all you got to do. One more, and then you're done. That's it. And then at night, she swam the tuna breaststroke again. And the time that she went out in, so at the first 100, when she touched the 100, that time in her first 100 was faster than her best time in the individual 100 breaststroke coming into that year.
That's crazy.
So she went out crazy, was crushing everybody, and then just barely got past at the very last second. I think got second by a tenth or two, but dropped 4 seconds from her morning time when she told me she had absolutely nothing left. And so like moments like that kind of stick with you of, you know, you see people put in the work all year long. You know, some people it's, you know, multiple years. You know, I only got to work with Olivia just the one, but you see the work that's put in, you see just every ounce that they give. And sometimes you just need a little bit more that last time, and you know, watching her be able to do that and put it together that one last time was really special.
Yeah, I remember that race vividly, watching it. I want to say the night that she raced in that race was when we had our home men's basketball game on national television on ESPN. So I was up in the multimedia center controlling graphics and live tweeting and stuff like that while we were awaiting. Luckily for us here at YSU, that game didn't start till 9 p.m., so it gave me a lot of time to help out with the swimming. As we take a look now at this season's roster, swimming and diving naturally is going to be one of the biggest rosters that you have out of any program on campus. So there's a lot of turnover from year to year. This year's roster features 23 newcomers, combining the male and the females. Something that stood out to me was out of those 23 newcomers, 19 of the 23 come from a different state or country from the other person. We only have 4 of these 23 newcomers that share a same state or a same home country. And I love that you help out a lot with recruiting, because this is a great question to ask you. Heading into this last recruiting window, now I don't know if you necessarily got to deal with a lot of the freshman newcomers now because of when you came into Youngstown State. What was kind of the standpoint from the coaching perspective? What was the goals, and how do you guys recruit such a global sport?
Yeah, so really our goals pretty much going into every season, and it's a little bit different now just with the, you know, house settlement and having roster caps. In the past, we were open to taking anybody that was good enough to really swim on us and fit us culturally. Now we have we can only take so many people. We're capped at 30 men and 30 women. But really kind of going into, or before this new kind of world that we live in with, college athletics, it was finding the right people that are a right fit for our team, not just athletically, but academically and culturally. We want people that are going to come in and work hard, love the sport, care about their academics, and be good people that are going to fit in with our team. And we found a lot of people from a lot of different places that all fit in with that.
That's perfect.
We have arguably our best recruiting class ever in program history on the women's side, for sure. And on the men's side, very, very comparable first or second. And again, it just so happens that those people came from many different places, and we're open and welcome to taking people as long as, like I said, they kind of fit with what we're looking for.
Definitely.
Athletically, culturally, academically.
So one final question. The season opening duel is just a few weeks away against Oakland at home at the Beagling Auditorium on October 3rd and October 4th, a two-day meet for the Youngstown State swimming and diving programs. I guess as we wrap things up, just from your standpoint, what are some of the strengths you see from the team so far this season, and what's the excitement level like as we're now, like I said, just a few weeks away, less than a month from the season opening meet?
I mean, we're super excited. Our first team meeting was a couple of days before school started. I think it was August 22nd. And, Coach Brad and I and Coach Abby and Coach Ron, really our whole coaching staff, just before the meeting started, we kind of just looked out at all of our athletes and went like, that's a good group. That's a good group. And then every single day at practice, especially over the last 2 weeks, it's been like, man, I can't believe this is kind of what we got here. And so I think really, we have strengths all over the board.
Awesome.
Men's side, women's side. I think we've gotten better really in every single discipline. We've lost a lot of really, really talented swimmers. Like you mentioned, Miriam Frost. We lost Gavin.
Gavin Webb.
Gavin Webb, Gavin Redden, a lot of really, really talented swimmers. But I think we did our best money ball job of, replacing them in the aggregate and then some. And so awesome. I think we're a much more complete team in terms of not really having as many weaknesses, but then also building on our strengths that we already had.
Awesome. Well, Noah, thanks for taking the time to join me. October 3rd, October 4th, the season opening duel for the Youngstown State swimming and diving programs at home inside the Beagling Auditorium against Oakland. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll speak with some of the student athletes of the Youngstown State men's and women's swimming and diving programs here on the Penguin Playbook Radio Show.